You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello and welcome to our sixth edition of the Football Special podcast. I'm Alan Foley from the Donegal Democrat. Today I'm joined by Frank Craig from the Donegal Post, Dennis Owen Independence, Damien Dowds, Chris McNulty from the Donegal News, and we'll have a word here with Kieran McMonagall first of all. Oh, sorry, we've just forgotten that Kieran was so upset by Donegal's relegation, he decided not to bother going to the Tyrone game, and he's away chasing foreign sports around Australia. So good luck to the British and Irish Lions anyway, in the tests. And as we said there, first of all, the championship is well and truly up and running. Frank, we'll start with you. Donegal, what a great victory over Tyrone.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I suppose maybe a lot of the fear and trepidation or worries that we had beforehand, you know, they didn't play out on the day, and I know there was injury concerns, but like there is for the Down game now, but very impressed with Donegal's, not so much the performance. I've looked back at it, and there are areas I'm sure Jim and Rory will want improving, but the way that maybe the professional job that they went about, you know, the game plan, they pushed on Tyrone was pretty impressive. And I think it went the way that we, a lot of us maybe expected or predicted in here. And I suppose a 5 or 6 point victory over your nearest rival in your province, I mean, you can't ask for more than that, really.
I think one of the biggest, most impressive things about it, Damien, was Donegal basically started that game with probably 10 fit players. I suppose Carl Lacey he started on the bench. We had Mark McHugh on the bench. We had Anthony Thompson, Frank Midland with hamstring bother. I think Rory Cavanagh had flu that morning. Neil Gallagher was struggling. David Walsh had only played a game or two, but all the more impressive.
I think, you know, people talk about the system. You know, the players that came in were able to fit into the system very well. Like, you know, I think, you know, Donegal are probably less dependent on, other than one or two, less dependent on the big stars. People can come in. The likes of the two Walshes, for example, came in and fitted seamlessly into the system. Like in Donegal, you know, we're very economical that day. Like, you know, I think we only had something like 3 wides and a couple of shorts, like maybe blocked once or twice. Like, you know, Tyrone had the bulk of the possession and the bulk of the scoring chances from bad places, but Donegal had their plan 100% right. And, you know, mentally they absolutely broke Tyrone as well. You know, in the last 15-20 minutes, Tyrone were a rabble, as Donegal have been in the past against Armagh when we found ourselves in similar situations 10 years ago and whatever else. Like, just they completely broke them mentally and psychologically. Like, and the confidence that Donegal took from when Karen Lacey in particular was introduced and where to get in the goal straight after it, like, you know, from a long way out, it was there was only going to be one winner, like, and like 6 points at the end was well worth it.
Absolutely. Jim McGuinness said afterwards, Chris, that he wanted to finish the game with as strong a team on the pitch as possible. Carl Lacey clearly wasn't fit, but he was very good on the ball, very intelligent, as he is. That was a big call from Jim.
Huge call, and I suppose it's interesting, you know, we always talk, and I suppose the mere mortals among us sort of would say if a player's fit, start him and get what you can out of him, but Jim clearly had the belief that the players he started could take Tyrone to a point where they were almost breaking. And at that moment when Carl Lacey came on, I think that was the moment that probably broke Tyrone, because they were staying in touch with Donegal, and all of a sudden, here was coming off the bench the 2012 Footballer of the Year, and within a few seconds, Ross Wardy had got a goal. And, you know, I think that sort of 30 seconds to maybe 90 seconds from that substitution to Wardy's goal was the defining moment of that game. And I suppose, as Damien mentioned there, the system we have is such, it's not dependent solely on Michael Murphy, it's not dependent solely on Carl Lacey, but it's a jigsaw and into which can fit now some of these players. And I think that Tyrone game probably answered a lot of the concerns about our strength and depth in many ways. You know, we had sort of said all along last year, what if anything happens, Murphy, Neil McGee, Carl Lacey? Well, you know, I think that Tyrone game has answered a lot of those and maybe put some of our fears to bed in relation to what these fringe players, so-called fringe players, can do.
Absolutely, yeah. I think all the players that come in, as Damien said, the Walsh lads, Martin McElhenney come on and beefed up the midfield at a time we were struggling, and Ross Wardy come on and got a goal with his very first touch, Frank, in Championship football. I think he was on 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Jim, one of the lines they threw out, that he was using the National Football League to, you know, to uncover one or two players, and the one or two players that they uncovered, Ross Wardy is one of them, and I suppose a big impact coming off the bench. I mean, if you track his run from 50 yards back when that move started to get on the end of it, I mean, it was pretty impressive. And just back to Tyrone, I think, I mean, Donegal maybe had their homework on Tyrone, you know, down to a T in that league game in Omagh. I think Donegal took far more out of that there than Tyrone did, and we speculated about that in the build-up, and I think there was a false perception out there about Tyrone from their league form. I think, you know, they rolled out their heavy artillery all through the National Football League and they hadn't much more to offer come Championship. And I think, you know, you have to cut your cloth to suit, and Donegal treated everything before May 26th as pre-season. And when, I suppose, the serious business came about, we've seen what Donegal were made of. I mean, Dublin, with the panel and strength and depth, you can maybe fight on both fronts in terms of league and Championship. But Tyrone, like Donegal, maybe wouldn't have the numbers. And I think Jim McGuinness from Rory Gallagher in particular deserve a lot of credit for the way they maybe handled the National Football League.
Because like Jim said from day one, 26th of May is all that matters. Like, why did anybody ever really doubt him on this?
That's a good question. I suppose there was a number of issues there in terms of the injuries was a big concern, and secondly maybe the events surrounding the Dublin game and the relegation. You know, there was a lot of subplots and maybe nastiness, things that maybe garnered a lot of headlines. But I think when it all came down to it, and Balba Faye, I think Donegal's mental approach to it, and the fact that they didn't let the National Football relegation impact on their psyche at all, and even talking to the players, I mean, away from, I suppose, work and just, you know, one-to-one and off the record and chewing the cud more or less, I mean, you could see in their eyes and even in their speaking that they weren't rattled by the relegation. And I think all bodes well for the province at least now, and I think barring a disaster, we'll be there thereabouts come, you know, All-Ireland semi-finals.
It's probably a thing as well where the impact Jim has had on the players' mentality, it probably hasn't transferred to supporters. And, you know, where the players ultimately believed from day one that it was all about May 26th, what they were doing was going to ultimately come to fruition on May 26th, and maybe for the rest of us, you know, we just didn't quite grasp what was happening, and I suppose we didn't see what was happening again behind the closed doors and away from the games, and maybe we were looking for an excuse maybe early on, you know, and we were sort of fit to say from February, look, our form's not good, and, you know, we're happy enough with All-Ireland and Tyrone are going to beat us on May 26th, you know, maybe we just didn't grasp exactly what Jim was getting at.
Absolutely. Damien, would you be a bit peeved off if you're Jim, because he's continually questioned, and even in the lead up to the game, there was so much talk, as we said, about Tyrone's league form, but in fairness to Jim, and I think it's 14 Championship games now, he's won defeat against Dublin, it's impeccable apart from that.
His unwaverable belief, and that has transmitted to the players. And as Chris says, the supporters don't have it, because I suppose we remember times in the past when Donegal would have gone out and beat Tyrone as the All-Ireland champions, as we did in 2004, and then lose the Ulster final to Armagh and so on. Like, so previous Donegal teams always had great ability and always had the ability to get to, you know, a fantastic win, as we've done against Tyrone this year, and you could have choked the next time out. McGuinness's team do not choke, absolutely not. I mean, performance is the only thing that they're interested in, and they continue to do that and they continue to deliver that. And, you know, really, no disrespect to the other teams that are remaining in the Ulster Championship, like, but, you know, after getting over the hurdle of Tyrone, who after Donegal are the best team in Ulster, you know, really you're starting to move your mind to August, even rather than worrying about what's going to happen in Breffni Park or in Clonus later in the Ulster Championship. Like, you know, I think Donegal will be able to beat down within themselves as well, like, you know, and we'll be able to overcome these things. But I suppose one thing that really came out from, you know, the standout performance for me from the match was Paddy McBrearty, and we talked all during the league about how we were kind of hoping for Paddy McBrearty to really kick on, like, and, you know, by far his best performance at senior level for Donegal came against Tyrone. And, you know, that augurs well. You know, sometimes I suppose people might, you know, they're talking about discovering new players, and okay, Paddy McBrearty isn't a new player, but given what we've seen of him at club level and what we've seen of an underage level, you know what kind of capabilities he has. And, you know, if this is the season that he translates that consistently into the intercounty scene, well, I mean, that's a whole new player compared to what we've had for the last
couple
of years.
I see he's 5-2 for a young player of the year at this early juncture. I suppose, Frank, we'll ask you. You would have seen him probably a bit more than the rest of us in the Southwest playing underage football. I think if there's a criticism at underage football, was maybe he was a little too selfish, but I suppose he was a standout player in the team and he was anything but selfish against Tyrone.
Yeah, I think that's what these two seasons have done under Jim McGuinness. I mean, a lot of people have been looking for that individual streak in question. Has he been playing well for Donegal? But I think it was a conscious decision of Jim and Rory's to take him out the field and maybe get him more involved as a universal player. And I think he's worked on his game. Jim said that chatting to him on Wednesday, that Patrick's worked really hard at his game. And I think just looking forward to the down game, with Patrick in such a rich vein of form and a go-to man now with the ball, we could easily take Michael Murphy out to fill Neil Gallagher's position and play Patrick and call him inside. So all of a sudden, there's pluses there in strength and depth. And I'm excited going forward to what Patrick can offer, because if you're a down manager and looking how fragile their full back line looked the last day, I mean, if you have to worry about Colin McFadden, Michael Murphy and Patrick McBrearty, I mean, that's brilliant for Donegal football. And fingers crossed, as you said, he's been playing well for Kilcare too, and we did speculate in here, would we be looking for a wee bit more of him in terms of what he offers scoring. I mean, I think he's banging in an average 7 or 8 points for his club. So fingers crossed ahead of down that, you know, Patrick will be another star performance.
That's a good point about Michael Murphy. I think there's a great example during the Tyrone game when Michael caught a ball in their own square. It led to the sending off of Joe McMahon. It frees up Michael because as a three, I don't think he really gets a better full forward line in the country. And Michael does work very unselfishly for the team, as Jim McGuinness said last year, Chris.
Yeah, and I think maybe ultimately part of Jim's master plan when he came in was to develop Murphy into a midfielder, or certainly a player who was much deeper from goal. And I know it became a cliche a bit last year, you know, where Jim was getting criticism for not playing Michael close to goal. But Michael can probably be more effective away from goal, particularly, as you say, Alan, when we have the likes of Colum and Patrick inside. Like, I watched Patrick last week for Kilcare against St Michael's, and some of his points were just, they were outrageous, defying just basic mathematics in many ways, you know. And like, as Frank said, he's averaging 7 or 8 points, but the point has to be made, it's not tapping over frees from 13 metres. Like, there's some of these points, and they're a player really, really, not even on form, but his confidence is so, so high. And I think if we can bring Michael out, what we're getting then is maybe a return of scores from out the field. We're getting a player with serious power. He's got serious precision from long range. I mean, some of his points, Michael's points in recent times as well, have come from way, way out. And, you know, for an inter-county manager, I mean, if you're James McCartan trying to plan for Colum and Patrick inside, and all of a sudden you've got a guy like Michael Murphy at the middle of the field, I really don't know where you would start with even thinking about a game plan to stop that. And, you know, don't be surprised if we do see Michael starting in that, maybe 15 on it, 14 on his back, but playing alongside Rory in the middle of the field.
Yeah, we could definitely see that, because I think Rory had a bit of a bout of laryngitis the last day. He wasn't really on top of his game, although he did have a good second half. Neil as well was struggling. Tyrone probably bossed the midfield, Damien.
They did, they completely bossed the midfield, but Donegal were able to, you know, they were able to pack the defence, and they were forcing Tyrone out into very unfavourable shooting positions. I think Matty Donnelly was probably Tyrone's best forward, and most because he was scoring these spectacular kicks from out the left wing or whatever. Like, but you know, I think we kept a track of it. Like, Donegal 19 scoring attempts in the course of the game and hit 2-10 from that. Tyrone at 29 scoring attempts in the course of the game and only managed the 10 points. Like, so, you know, we were letting them shoot from unfavourable positions. Morgan, who we had talked so much about in the run up to it, like, you know, he was completely broke long before the end, like, psychologically. For the frees that he got were from quite unfavourable positions. The day was wet, the ball was heavy, and, you know, the Donegal players were standing close enough to put him off as well. Like, so, you know, one of the main focuses of what Tyrone have been all about during the league, and one of the main focuses coming in, completely went for them. And, you know, you'd have to wonder, you know, all his, I think of the 5 or 6 kicks that he took, they were all but one were outside 45. Like, those are very hard scored by anybody. Like, you know,
and the guy's 22 years of age as well, which people tend to overlook. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, you know, and you know, obviously a lot of focus went on his antics with the crowd. Like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be too perturbed about that. Like, he's having a bit of crack and a bit of a buzz. Like, and it's better that he's not an automaton as well. But you know, they kind of to build a game plan around the fact that you've got a goalkeeper that's going to be scoring 60-yard free kicks. You know, you'd have to question whether that's really a sustainable game plan, even on a dry day and a warm day. Like, you know, that's bonus territory. That's not something you can plan around. Like,
yeah, because he had 6 kicks. I think he put 1 over, 1 short, and 4 wide. But Tyrone persisted with it until the bitter end when the game was over.
And they wouldn't do that with an outfield player. That's the remarkable thing. You see, this is what happens when they built so much and built around him. To be honest, he had a very bad day from the frees. They were from difficult positions. I expect that he will stay on the frees for Tyrone now during the back door and will no doubt bang over a lot. But, you know, there's always the danger that, you know, if the thing isn't working, you have to have, and you have to be brave enough to do it. I don't believe they'll persist with him for 6 kicks again if he's missing them.
I was very surprised with Mickey Hart that there was no plan B there, because we speculated in here, well, if he doesn't hit the first or second one and the head starts to drop, where did Tyrone go from there?
Because he had a tough game against Cork, was it, in the National League in Omagh, when Cork came up and won. He had a bad game that day, but that was kind of overlooked, because apart from that, he had a very good league.
As you say, he's 22 years of age. I'm surprised someone like Sean Cavanagh or Stephen O'Neill, in terms of choice, you know, shot selection, maybe, you know, ushered him back in a number of those, and they could have went shorter, you know, recycled the ball and worked it in to a more favourable position. Because, I mean, right up until half-time, Tyrone were in that game for a large spell. I mean, I know that it was lauded afterwards, Donegal's performance, and that, but if you do watch it back, there are areas where Tyrone maybe will be really disappointed where the Donegal may be pinned back sometimes. But I mean, Morgan deciding to shoot from, you know, 50, 60 yards when maybe that would be give and go, being a better Sean Cavan and himself actually had he went to come up for a shot, and Sean Cavan actually ushered him back from one of the sidelines. So I'm surprised that Mickey Hart and all his experience and wisdom hadn't got a plan B or a contingency plan for what if it did go wrong. And I mean, as opposed to him making faces or going in the crowd, I think we need characters in GAA, and I wouldn't be too hard on him for that there.
No, but we don't really like to criticise Mickey Hart. Obviously he has 5 Ulsters and 3 All-Irelands, but apart from the Morgan thing, Chris, it was quite surprising that Sean Cavanagh was basically played in a position that made him redundant.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of Tyrone's play that day that, I mean, it basically made no sense. Like what he was doing with Sean Cavanagh, and I think Stephen O'Neill as well, Mickey played into Jim's hands with the role he gave probably his two marquee men, and the two players who, you know, we had said it in the lead up, were capable of hurting Donegal. But the way Mickey played them, it meant they were redundant, really. And, you know, I suppose we're looking at Patrick McBurdy's performance. I think if we look at Eamon McGee's performance and Sean Cavan as well, it was absolutely immense, and just continues Eamon's run of nullifying these players. You know, against Kerry, he kept Kieran Donaghy quiet until the last couple of minutes when he got a goal. The same against Cork, same against Mayo, and now against Tyrone. But back to Mickey Hart, the thing with Niall Morgan, I suppose, epitomised, it was maybe desperation in a way that, you know, there just wasn't a plan B. Frank mentions that time that Sean Cavanagh ushered him back. There was also another time close to half time where Morgan, he put his hands out almost wondering to the bench,
yeah,
will I
right.
go? And there was just total confusion here, and it was almost as if Tyrone hadn't rehearsed what if Niall Morgan buckles in Balbofay. It was just, you know, oh hell, he's missed a couple. What do we do here? There just wasn't a plan B. And, you know, when you see a man like Mickey Hart standing, you know, in just total, I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of was symptomatic of how Tyrone were by the end of the game. Like, you know, I mean, their plan, and, you know, in many positions, some of their leaders, like, you know, the likes of Joe McMahon getting second yellow for petulance more than anything else. Like, you know, I mean, and some of their leaders just weren't showing. Stephen O'Neill was moved way out the field where he wasn't going to be effective and really isn't going to be effective. You know, a lot of the talk about the strength and depth of teams is based on their previous success at underage level. So, for example, Tyrone have had a good deal of success underage level. Dublin is another team they talk about. Translating that into senior is different, is difficult. Like, and, you know, for all the strength and depth that Tyrone has had at underage level over the past number of years, you'd have to wonder, like, if they really, you know, their forwards, their two marquee players are Stephen O'Neill and Sean Cavan. Matty Donnelly had a good display, but a lot of the rest of the forwards didn't really show, like, you know. And Conor Gormley was one of their, was probably, I think he was unmarked, or he seemed to be kind of the free man, but he was by far their best performer in the midfield sector as well. Like, and, you know, those are lads that are all pushing on quite a bit as well. Like, you know, so the strength and depth thing, you can't really base it on what's been done at underage. Like, you can only really base it on what they're able to perform at senior level. And, you know, Donegal, fortunately, have been able to do that with relatively little underage success.
And there was probably a bit of Donegal of old in that Tyrone performance, you know, where their discipline just completely went by the end. They were a team with no plan, no cohesion. You know, it really does smack of maybe that Donegal team of a decade ago, where they came into a game against a big team, hoping for that big performance, lived with them for a while, and ultimately just completely and utterly capitulated.
I just thought of all those times we came up short against Armagh, how we would be the ones that would have been going mental.
Leaving early,
whatever else. Like, you know, so it was, you know, the boot has kind of changed, like, you know, but yeah, Donegal actually held their discipline admirably well as well towards the end. Like, you know, when they were, you know, there was hard hits, there were sly hits, there was different shenanigans going on, but Donegal, you know, are so mentally focused that they didn't let themselves be dragged into any of that. Like, and even, for example, for the sending off of Joe McMahon, like, you know, Michael Murphy takes a kick in the ankle in front of the umpires, like, you know, lets the umpires and lets the officials deal with it. Like, and you know, McMahon really, it was bad from one of their key leaders to be getting himself into a situation like that. But watching the video of it again, like, you can see 15-10 minutes before that, like, he's kind of, he's taken a knock and he's not in the right place mentally, like, you know. And, yeah, and that was just an example of frustration coming out on behalf of one of their key men, and it was something that was across the team, and the leadership coming from the sideline as well, and their plan A, B and C just, it wasn't really there. And saying that, they've got a great opportunity now through the back door. I mean, they'll be dangerous opponents, and will be dangerous opponents.
Do you think they'll make it as far as August though, Damon? There's a lot of talk.
Yeah, I think. Well, obviously, completely and utterly depend on the draw. Like, but yeah, they can get a bit of momentum through the back door if they get the right draw. And yeah, I think they certainly would still, in my mind, be in the top eight teams in the country. Like, there's no question about that. Like, but you know, they'll be looking for a favourable enough draw through the back door. Like, they wouldn't.
Yeah, I think what Tyrone maybe need now is to get one of the so-called smaller teams in Oma, because, you know, if you look at some of the venues that they could possibly go, I mean, could they possibly be drawn against a Galway, for example, who need a big performance? And, you know, there's
Galway.
Some very, very dangerous
Galway's
opponents.
Galway's a certainty that wouldn't hurt them, though. I think Galway are too flurry.
Galway shot their bolt all together. Like.
I would agree with Damien, they probably are a top eight team, but that, I think if you examine that a wee bit more closely, I mean, I think there's two tiers in football now, and the likes of maybe Donegal, Dublin, Mayo, possibly a Kerry or a Cork, and then you have that bottom four, which Tyrone will be part in. I think even for one of the big hitters coming all there in a quarter final, Tyrone and the white space at Crow Park would be fodder for one of the real big teams.
Absolutely. I think if you think back to the 2009, Donegal conceded 127. After that there, Tyrone and Kildare was a great game. That was the last time Tyrone won an All-Ireland quarter-final, and the gulf between them and Donegal that particular day, even though they're playing two different matches, was considerable. So, I don't know, maybe, I don't see them as a semi-final team personally. I think maybe a quarter-final, but he's tried to change a few things, but I think this is a big kind of setback for them. But as Chris said there, they could get a bit of a scoot through the qualifiers. It suited us really well in, I think, 2003, where we kind of bedded ourselves through, but the one interesting thing I think about the game, we spoke about the injuries, Donegal in this system, Frank, without two of the real key components in Frank Midland not being totally fit and Anthony Thompson not being totally fit to come from defence, they were totally devoid of that really, because the two lads you could see from the start were struggling, but still managed to be very, very convincing. Is there much of an evolution do you see at this early stage?
It's hard to know, because I think Donegal's looked at Tyrone this last 2 years, and Tyrone have probably called our bluff, and we've probably made them look a better team than they've been. And I think Donegal had trust in themselves this time to go at Tyrone and try to put them away. We thought they'd go for them early, and that's exactly what they did. And I think we've talked about Donegal in 2003 and getting ahead of steam in the qualifiers. I think we had actually great players back then. We just maybe didn't have a formation or any structure, whereas I don't think Tyrone have a great team now. And maybe Mickey Hart still has a structure or a template, but maybe the players aren't capable of carrying out what he's looking for them to do. So maybe the lines are blurred there, where Mickey Hart's time in charge is spent, or maybe where the pool of players he has just aren't up to it this minute in time.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if we look at Tyrone, maybe Mickey's still using the template, you know, that had Brian Doher at the centre of it. He doesn't have Brian Doher. He doesn't have a player, you know, like Owen Mulligan that could flick the light switch. You know, he just doesn't have these guys, and he's maybe still sort of lost in time in a way that he's still basing his team and his team system around guys who aren't there.
Yeah, I think during the week before the Tyrone game, it was Eugene McGee was on News Talk, and he said that Stephen O'Neill was showing some of the form which he did in 2005, kicking points without even looking. But he says Balbuffet is in Croke Park. He said he's going to have Neil McGee for company, he's going to have Paddy McGrath for company, he's going to have Eamon McGee in a tight little ground. And that's exactly what happened, really, bar one excellent point that O'Neill scored in the first half.
Stephen O'Neill reminds me of at the minute is a guy who got a lot of criticism in Donegal jersey was Brenton Devaney. And I think that was always unfair, because what happened Brenton is what's probably happened Stephen O'Neill now. By our man Tyrone defences, he was crowded out in the space in front of him, wasn't there for him to run on and play his natural game. And I think Stephen O'Neill's suffering from the style of football that maybe is across the country at the moment. I know Kerry have decided to drop the Gooch out to the half forward line, and maybe in hindsight, talking about the guys being redundant in the last day, maybe Stephen O'Neill should have drifted out towards the 45, where he could have stretched the Donegal defence and had a wee bit more influence on the play.
I think he's still suffering from that attempted hit on Neil McGee as well.
Yeah, we couldn't not mention that today. So, as Neil McGee said afterwards, he got in the way. So, after that, we had a week to sit back and take it in. It was by far from a flawless Donegal performance, but a fine performance nonetheless. Derry and Down played the following Sunday. A bit of a surprise that Down won in Celtic Park, considering the league forms of both sides. What did you make of that game, Frank?
I think it was a fine and enjoyable game of football, and that's what Rory Gallagher said to me. And reading between the lines, I mean, it was a very innocent, maybe naive brand of football. And when you look at Owen Bradley, the space that was afforded in front of him, and what space won't be there when Donegal play them, I think Donegal will have far too much for Down, and I think we'll take more than the 6 point victory we had over Tyrone away from that there encounter in Cavan.
What did you make of it, Chris?
Yeah, that was the one thing I took away from it, watching it. I didn't see it on the day, but I watched it back on the Monday, and you know, sure, you know, Down kicked some absolutely fantastic scores, but I mean, the point really has to be made, they were allowed to do so, and they just simply won't. And I would agree with Frank, I see Donegal winning this pretty comfortably. I mean, looking at last year, the Ulster final, Donegal ran away with it. Have Down improved significantly since then? I don't think they have. Have Donegal? Well, maybe not significantly, but I do think Donegal have taken a step on. And, you know, what Down were allowed to do against Derry, you know, and let's call a spade, Derry aren't a top team. You know, okay, they had a good National League campaign. You know, they won Division 2, but I suppose, again, it brings us back to the discussion about the relevance of league football. And, you know, could we use Derry's spring as a gauger for the summer? No, we couldn't. Down were relegated, went to Celtic Park, and with a very, very good second half, beat them quite convincingly by the end.
Yeah, Down could be a bit like we were 10 years ago, as we said. That's the sort of result we would have got 10 years ago, beat Derry, be quite confident, and hopefully we'll go in and play lovely football against Armagh, but then inevitably we just got ground out of it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking at their after-match comments as well, you know, there's a bit of sarcasm from James McCartan, you know, whoopee, we're playing Donegal. But I think if you analyse what they were saying afterwards, I think there is a real fear that Donegal could go to town on them.
Yeah, I think Donegal did go to town on them in the second half of the Ulster final last year. I mean, that was nearly as complete a 35 minutes of football as we had. But prior to that, Down had caused us as much trouble. And, you know, they created a lot of goal chances. They created two or three goal chances against Donegal last year, which they haven't done in the past. They are dangerous, and you know, they're dangerous. But look, as I was saying earlier, Donegal in the past, teams would have been guilty of choking, having done the hard work of beating a better team. You could have went out and choked the next day. Like, there's no prospect of that happening. Like, and there's no way Donegal will lose us. I don't think that we'll put up a scoreline like we did in the Ulster final last year. We'll win comfortably. We'll do what needs to be done to win the game. I don't think it'll will sparkle necessarily the way that we did in last year's Ulster final, because we don't really need it. But it would be unthinkable almost for Donegal to lose. Like, we beat them by 12-7 or 12-7 in the league. You know, it was a very one. That was even the game was actually even more one sided than that. Like, and I think that
second gear really.
Second gear from Donegal that night. But look, I think we'll win it relatively comfortably. One thing that you did notice was that Derry didn't down. I think the first half a dozen kickouts or so were all taken short. So, for example, like, you know, and Derry didn't push up on that maybe as quick as they should have done. Like, Down were able then to actually score a few points by charging forward from it. So, it was one of the notable features actually of the Donegal Tyrone game. There was no short kickouts at all, I don't think, in the course of the game, because the teams were pushing up, and Donegal had been doing a wee bit of that. You could see it towards the end of the league. They'd done it in Cluxton as well. Like, so Down, they're going to look for a contest in the middle of the field. We're down of a couple of big men, but, you know, Rory Kavanagh and potentially Michael Murphy will be in there, and you know, I think we can do the business.
I think a lot, you know, about our injuries, Carroll Lacey and Big Neil. You know, Carroll will train before the Down game, but neither of them will play. I think, you know, if this was in the lead into Tyrone, you know, the management would be pushing the boat out to get these players ready to play. But as Damien says, I think the plan now is pretty much get through the rest of June and July, and, you know, really, really hit the ground running when we go to Dublin in August.
And Chris, you had the latest on Frank Whitland this morning.
Yeah, well, I know we're a week out from the game, but Frank was to take a full part in training last night. My information that he did take a large part in training last night, was said to be moving really, really well, which is, you know, superbly encouraging from a Donegal point of view. Frank's a player that keeps himself really well anyway. With the hamstring injury, had been curtailed, I think, pretty much from the start of the year. But good news on Frank McGlynn that he took close to a full part in training last night. Anthony Thompson as well has been back in training. David Walsh was again to be back in training last night. So outside the two guys, and I think Oran McNeillis as well, we've got a full deck of cards.
Absolutely. And what do you think Jim will do in the absence, probably, of Neil Gallagher?
I suppose what we talked about earlier, you know, he has the luxury of maybe taking Michael Murphy out to play at number 8 or 9, but just talking to the lads and that, you know, they see Michael going out there, I'd be one of the few that maybe would still like to see Michael remain on the edge of the square, because I think he has that, he strikes fear into, you know, the hearts of every fullback in the county or the country. But I think for the Down game, we could well see Michael coming out. I know you have the option of maybe taking Ryan Bradley into a more central position, and who knows, Jim could go with that there too, because I think the standard of the opposition, I think we all firmly believe Donegal won that there game, and maybe if the boot was on the other foot and it was Down, we get over in the first round, we're meeting A. Tyrone, maybe Michael Murphy could be pushed out. But I think he will have the luxury as well of putting Ryan Bradley in there beside Rory Kavanagh. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and we'll probably not know until throw-in, because as we've seen the last day, the two boys were named and the starting lineup and transpire they weren't fit to start. But it was great to see Mark McHugh come in there so early in the game and actually take such a fit and active part in the rest of proceedings. So that's a bit of a plus as well. You know, alongside Paddy McBrearty, he's going really well for Kilkeara. So it all bodes well for Sunday week. And even being, I suppose, careful and erring on the side of caution, I can't see anything other than Donegal victory by a handsome margin.
And I suppose we really don't want to be looking too far ahead here, but we're without the best player in the country, Carol Lacey, and, you know, would it be such a bad thing if we didn't see Carol this side of August? You know, we're going in and, you know, the bigger teams have looked at us then in three or four games, they've saw us in the National League without Carol. You know, what's to say that behind the scenes we're not working on a game plan that unleashes Carol Lacey in August and has Carol as the centrepiece of it?
Are we being too complacent, lads? No. In 91, I think, we strolled down to Clonus expecting easily to win back-to-back Ulster titles, if any of you can recall that game, and we're beaten out the gate that day.
Look, the goal threat from down is real, and it is dangerous, like, you know, but like the Donegal defence won't afford the type of space or won't make the type of simple turnovers that or conceded the simple type of turnovers that they're able, but they can be dangerous. Like, and actually, I was watching the game. You know, Benny Coulter has been the talisman for Down for such a long time. Like, but there's a yard of pace gone there now. Like, while he took watching and Derry watched, he was nearly a distraction to them. Like, and they've got Young O'Hare there and so on, a couple of other good forwards, and they did show that they're able to score from distance, but. You know, McKernan scored a couple, missed a couple, but they're scoring from 40 and 45 yards out under no pressure.
Yeah,
they will be under pressure at 40 yards out when they're taking their kicks against Donegal. Like, you know, so I don't see us putting up the big score. I think it might even be less than the 6 points we beat Tyrone with, but I think we'll win it and still win it within ourselves. And we shouldn't be in too much danger.
Yeah, and I think actually from watching our club football in the last month since Tyrone, I've seen Kilkeara, I think, three times, and something that has me very excited about Donegal is Ryan McHugh. Last week against St Michael's, he was absolutely superb. Scored 1-3, can ride a tackle against a very, very tough St Michael's defence.
And what kind of role did he play, Chris?
He was sort of playing, if you like, the Mark McHugh role, yeah. You know. But I'm just wondering, you know, with Carol Lacey, could we use this Down game as possibly a chance to give Ryan McHugh, you know, Jim in the past hasn't been afraid to throw players in, like Ross Werdy's championship debut with a game against Tyrone, the melting pot. Go back 2 years and he gave Patrick McBurdy his debut and stuff. You know, if Ryan McHugh's shown that kind of form in training, then I think we could possibly see him in some guys against Down.
I think if you're, you know, if our hopes are, you know, to be realising we are maybe one uncomfortably in a final quarter, I think Ryan McHugh will make his championship debut the next day. Maybe the Tyrone game wasn't the place for it in that final 10 minutes when Tyrone maybe were losing a bit of shape and a bit of discipline. But just back to your original point, you know, are we being a wee bit maybe complacent or cocky? My optimism wouldn't stem from how good Donegal have been so far this year. I mean, we've had some genuine concerns. We had the relegation, we've had all these injuries. It'll be more to do with maybe the dilution of strength and depth in the province. You know, we've prided ourselves in Ulster as it being the toughest gauntlet in Ireland to run. But I think having watched Tyrone the last day and what's left in front of us, you know, Ulster all of a sudden slipped and lost a lot of ground in terms of, you know, the most difficult province in Ireland. It's hard to argue now. I mean, is there two genuine contenders in Ulster anymore for an Ulster title? You can say there is a Munster for all, I mean, the bad press they've had over the years. I mean, Cork or Kerry can still win that. Dublin, I don't know if Kildare can push Dublin really, and Leinster. And then Connacht, you know, Mayo are there. So in terms, it might take us to the debate for another day in terms of restructuring the championship, but there is a genuine feeling out there now. Maybe if Cavan in the next year or two can get a bit of traction, momentum. Monaghan, who we all think will probably be there in Ulster final day, they might offer something as well. But at this moment in time, Donegal are a good bit ahead of the next best team.
Yeah, I think they're 3-10 in the bookies. Damien, if you had €100 now, would you put it on that price?
Yeah, it's very, very hard to see them beaten. Like, you know, it's the mental thing. Like, and I keep coming back to it. Like, it's not going to be let happen. Like, you know, I mean, Donegal were not going to let Tyrone beat them. And they just, you know, they have this mental strength that. They will always get the performance, and once you have a team going out and giving its performance, and you've seen, you know, players are being hooked off after 20 minutes or hooked off at half time if they're not doing it. Like, you know, the last day, for example, against Tyrone, the likes of Ryan Bradley and Leo McLoone in the half forward line both struggled a wee bit. Like, Ryan Bradley didn't come out for the second half, and McLoone was gone 10 minutes into the second half. Like, so, you know, the players themselves know that if they're not performing, that Jim is ruthless, and they will be removed, and the next man comes in then gets his chance to make his impression. So I think that yeah, 3-10, they're not great odds. There's probably better stuff to be found elsewhere. I'm betting on something else. But yeah, Donegal, it's hard to see it. Another Ulster title is anything other than a foregone conclusion, and that sounds awful cocky and awful arrogant, like. But it's just, it's hard to envisage anything else.
And it's something that the players aren't doing as well. I mean, I spoke to Patrick McBurdy this week, and it was very, very noteworthy that he spoke about showing other teams disrespect. So, you know, that, I suppose, the mindset that we have in thinking that we're going to coast an Ulster title, it's not coming into the players' equation. And, you know, they'll treat down every bit as seriously, if not more, than they did Tyrone.
And that mental strength, I mean, you have a 19-year-old who maybe was hung out to dry in terms of Patrick McBurdy doing that recent Bitegate scandal, for him to be delivering the kind of performance that he has been in the face of all that too. It's a credit to him.
I might just touch on that, because as it was well documented, he decided not to go to the hearing with Kevin O'Brien. I think it's probably the best thing that ever happened.
Definitely. I mean, you're a young man in an amateur game, and he's in college in close proximity to Dublin. You know, you socialise. I mean, people don't understand the things that go hand in hand with that there. You're open to abuse, and you're open to stuff like that. And Patrick's probably weighed it up along with his family and thought, you know, it wasn't worth it overall. And I would have no qualms whatsoever with him. I mean, it was the procedure, I think, that let Patrick McBurdy down rather than the other way around. And I think Jim was very staunch in his defence of Patrick in public, and it was good to see.
Okay, we'll finish up on the down thing. We're just going to have predictions here, lads. So, Frank, what do you think?
In terms of a scoreline or what we'd won by?
Either or. Honestly, we're going to win anyway.
I'll go Donegal by 7 or 8 points.
Donegal by less than they beat Tyrone, so Donegal by less than 6.
Less than 6. And Chris?
I think Donegal by double figures.
Double figures. Chris, you were the closest the last time too. You've predicted a comprehensive win over Tyrone. So I'll agree with Chris. Maybe, no, I'll go slight below 8 or 9. I think we are getting complacent here. If there was, I suppose, a dark spot that day, it was the Miners' loss against Tyrone. They were beaten 1-9 to 1-3, but kicked it away.
Yeah, they really, really kicked it away. I can't remember the statistics, but some of her free taking was just, you know, it was atrocious.
I think 19 wides, and I think at half time, Tyrone had 8 scoring chances at 1-5. Donegal had 12 scoring chances, and they kicked 2 points. So,
yeah, it's certainly, I suppose, when we're looking for, you know, what was coming behind, it was very, very disappointing performance by the Miners. Like the, I suppose, on the opposite side of the seniors, the Miners had a relatively encouraging league campaign, and I suppose maybe they were without Stephen McBurdy, who, you know, would have contributed much more than they had. But I'm just wondering, were they fazed by the occasion? You know, by half time in that Minor game, like, the ground was, I would say there was about 12,000 on the ground, and, you know, for young fellas that were playing in front of the proverbial man and dog pretty much their whole careers, I'm wondering, did that have an effect when they were stepping up to take those frees?
You could just see the belief draining out of them. Like, you know, I mean, they had 5 different free takers over the course of the afternoon. Like, they had 19 wides, you know, 8 or 9 wides from frees and stuff. Like, they just, no one seemed to be able to take it by the scruff of the neck and convert it. Like, we had overwhelming possession against a decent Tyrone side. Like, and, you know, to have got yourself into that position, you know, where you had enough possession in the attacking third of the field to actually win the game. It wasn't that Tyrone was putting, I mean, Tyrone actually twigged. They were fouling because they knew Donegal didn't have a free taker to score it. Like, you know, I mean, they had no, we didn't pose that. Now, is that down to, it just, there seemed to be a lack of belief. Like, you know, can you legislate for almost everyone on the field having an off day with his shooting boots? It's very hard to do. Like, but yeah, disappointing because they put in a big effort, and, you know, that they got to that league final as well against Monaghan and had come up a wee bit short there as well. But yeah, a scoring forward or two, like, would have really enhanced it. Like, yeah.
And it was a day as well, I suppose, that drew an end to Stephen Friel's tenure. And I spoke to Stephen last week, and, you know, still a couple of weeks after the game, he was absolutely devastated. I don't think I've ever spoken to a manager that was
it's hard
as down
though,
in a
after
defeat.
6 months preparation this year, one game, and we don't want to blame the young lads, but you can't blame a manager there for kicking 19 wides.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, you know, Stephen can prepare them to the best of his ability, which he did, and ultimately he has no control of what happens when they go out over the white line. And, you know, I suppose he was let down by his players that day.
I said, yeah, just not like 19 wides and scoring whatever it was, 1-3, like, you know, it's the wrong proportion altogether. Like, you know, so, and it can't be legislated for, but look, they've invited nominations now for the new minor managers. There's going to be a couple of names in for that, and we'll have to see where it goes. Like, there probably was very good raw material there this year to work with. Stephen McBurdy, I think he's come back and he's played championship now for Kilcare since. Like,
there's a young guy from Termon called Darren McDade who I think he fell out of the panel, but he's very impressive in the Orkney League as well. Yeah.
So look, and I think they're both underage next year. And I think the couple of Scallies is there, a couple of maybe the young the Ballyshannon lads. Some of them are underage next year again. Like, so, there's probably more coming through that are eligible, that have tasted Championship action this year, that are eligible again next year. Like, you know, so that should stand it. And they won the Buncrana Cup at under 16. Last year, so Declan Bonner was the manager there, so they're the Ulster champions of 2 years ago, so hopefully they have a chance of doing something next year.
It's probably been a wee disappointment where, I mean, this probably euphoric wave we've had this last couple of years under the senior side, it maybe hasn't reverberated back to minor level, and we've talked about, I mean, Buncrana Cup success, we can't seem to bridge that gap then to minor, which is particularly strange. But I mean, fingers crossed, as the boys alluded to, there is a good pool of players there, and if we get the right man into the job now, fingers crossed, things maybe
we take
season.
The Buncrana Cup maybe more serious than other teams at that. We'll just jump on to the club scene. The club championship's underway. First of all, we'll just congratulate Guidoor and Fanna Gaels on their wins in the Gaeltacht in Waterford. The club championship, new format, how you find it, lads, so far?
I think it's actually been very good, to be honest with you. And the only problem I have is that the draw is for 2 years. And, you know, when we come to next February, there's not going to be that buzz about who's playing who. And if you look at, I suppose, that so-called group of death, you know, Pir Bundoran are still looking next year at, if they survive that, as it's still being in a group with Glenswilly, Kilcairns and Michaels, you know. And I suppose it, maybe for the freshness thing, I think that's maybe the wrong thing, that there is the draw for 2 years. But in terms of the format, I actually think it's been working pretty well, and we're going into the last game with, I think, only St Eunan's and Kilcare guaranteed, Ardraa all but
almost
guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot to play for on both ends of the spectrum and into the last day, and that, I suppose, translates as a good championship.
Damien, we'll ask you about Group 1. St Eunan's have 4 points, Niamh Connell Glanties have 3 points. Mallon got a great point against Niamh Connell there, coming from 8 down to draw. And Clonely, they have no points. Basically, the crux of that means St Eunan's, if they beat Niamh Connell and if Mallon beat Clonely, there needs to be a 13-point swing between two games for Mallon to knock out Niamh Connell. That would really put, a cat among the pigeons.
Aye, absolutely. I mean, Niamh Connell, obviously, last year's beaten finalists, like, would have been amongst the favourites at the start. And, you know, they were quite fortunate, actually. They were hanging on to get that draw down in Mallon last week. So, they were hugely disappointed coming off the field. They kind of lost the run of themselves a bit in the second half, but they're in deep danger now of going out. Like, so it's still all to play for there. Eunan's have the great opportunity now to put them out of the championship, and you know, I'm sure they'll be motivated to do that as well. And, you know, it'll be unlikely that Mallon can do it. There's such a big point difference to be overcome, but they have a shot. Like, and Niamh Connell now will have to go and play hell for leather in this final game in O'Donnell Park as well.
Absolutely, but the shoe on the other foot, I mean, they could yet win the group, I suppose, if they win in Letterkenny. So that's an interesting one. Frank, we'll take you on to Group 2. This is your own local club, Ardraa. You have Glenfinn, you have 4 Masters, and you have Sean McCools. Ardraa have 2 wins from 2, they're almost through. Glenfinn have no points, they're out. And then the last place you would think is between Sean McCools and 4 Masters.
Yeah, we've a really difficult game still to come in McCools, because McCools get the positive result there and things don't go to plan in the other game, we could still find ourselves maybe on 4 points apiece with 4 Masters and McCools. McCools went down narrowly to 4 Masters last week, and I think they were very unlucky not to take a one away there. So on the whole, I spoke to 4 or 5 people on Wednesday's edition from various clubs, and they were happy and content with how the championship's gone so far and the new format. A change is good, but I would echo Chris's concerns with the group's been the same next year. It's a wee bit maybe unfair in that group of death, and Bundoran in particular.
I think from a financial point of view, that was the thinking, though. You have 3 home games over 2 years. We're not going into Group 3 too much because there's been 2 draws there. Guidoor were held at home by Kelly Beggs, and Dunlow got a point away to Termin. So that game is still, that group's still in its infancy, really. Chris, as you said earlier, you've been to 3 Kilcare games. You're moving down to Tony. There's still a lot to play for in that group.
Yeah, and I suppose going into the last game, Kilcare are really the kingmakers in that group. You know, they're sitting on top of the pile on 4 points. There's going to be a big gun fall, either Glenswilly or St Michael's, who meet in what's going to be a ferocious contest at the Bridge in a couple of weeks' time. Kilcare really are on form. Michael Hegarty's in as good a form as I've ever seen him at club level. You know, Mark and Ryan McHugh, Patrick McBerty. I suppose the one concern maybe for Kilcare is, you know, what they do, you know, if one of those players has an off day, because they're so central. St Michael's have been very disappointing. You know, they were the form team for so long in 2013, but come to the championship, they went down and drew with Bundoran, who are still in the mix. And as I say, Kilcare, the kingmakers, you know, is it an unthinkable scenario that Bundoran beat Kilkear and, you know, we're left possibly then St Michael's beating Glenswilly and Bundoran advancing on points difference?
There's a big swing needed there, possibly. That'll just wrap up the club championship. We're just going to have a word here for our hurlers. We'll give it the final word off today's show to Damien. He was in Croke Park. A great victory for Donegal hurlers to seal the Nicky record.
Aye, absolutely. You know, so 320-316 they beat Roscommon, and that's them, you know, in twice now in 2 years. They've moved on from the Division 4, Laurie Meyer. They won that a couple of years back, and they've now beat Roscommon as well. They move into the Ring Cup next year, but their display in the final was excellent. Like, they were better probably than the four point margin they had, and in the likes of Danny Cullen and Lee Henderson, Kieran Mathewson, like some very, very, very talented hurlers like that won't be out of place at all at that Ring Cup level next year. So they're up now into the second tier of the Hurling Championship, and you know, you'd have got long odds in that in Donegal a few years past.
It's hard to believe, Dan, because 3 years ago they were maybe struggling in the Laurie Maher. I know they lost a few finals there.
Yeah, that's it. They lost two finals and they lost a lot of league finals, and they have tended not to do well in finals, but they did very well on this occasion. But what's happened probably is that the clubs are now, look, in times past, there was a lot of politics and players wouldn't play for certain managers and so on. That's gone. Ray Durack is, he's involved with St Unions, he would have played a lot with Burt over the years, but he's a Galway man, and a lot of the baggage that seems to be attached to a native Donegal man managing team seems to be gone. And with Durack in there, the players, everyone pretty much that's available is out and playing, and they're particularly well drilled as well. Their first touch, their stick work is vastly improved in what has been recent years. I think a lot of the credit for that has to go to the management team that Durack has put in place. So a really good team, and a lot of them are very young, and their under 21s are now in the Ulster Shield final against Tyrone next Wednesday night. And there's three or four of the boys starting that started in the game against Roscommon and that too. So it's a very young team. I think the oldest is Paddy Hanning, 30, James O'Donnelly's 29, and there's a lot of boys in there under 21. So, you know, they've got something to build on there. The one problem probably for them next year is that they're still in Division 3A. They didn't get promotion from that, so they're going to be playing against teams that they've had to beat enough for the last couple of years. They're not going to get to match themselves against the teams in 2B, the likes of the Roscommon, the likes of the Armaghs, the Derrys, the Wicklows and so on. Down, so yeah, they're coming in a bit cold. And unlike the footballers who, you know, don't have a lot of store, put a lot of brew by the league, the hurlers have to, like, you know, and that's the one probably difficulty they're going to face next year. You could end up drawing a Kerry in the first round of the Ring, and you know, we're in the bottom end of the Ring standings, and that's where we're going to be for a couple of years. But if they can stay in there, avoid the relegation next year, there really is something to build on, as long as the players continue to buy into the all for one attitude that they've done for the last 2 years under Durack.
Yeah, I suppose a bit like the football progression is all you want. We'll wish the under-21 hurlers all the best on Wednesday night in the Ulster Shield, and of course Donegal's senior footballers against Down on Sunday the 23rd. So we'll be back with a podcast, hopefully looking forward to an Ulster final, but we don't want to be too complacent.
And hopefully with Kieran back in action.
We'll see how the Lions test goes. All the best.
Thanks for listening to Football Special.